Tonight, let's just read the whole chapter, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit in every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, Greater Vancouver. Thank you for joining with us, and I trust that today the Lord will minister to your heart as we come to the very final message on this book of Revelation. Well, of course, we're never done. Once we complete reading through the Bible, We ought to start all over again immediately. But this book of Revelation has been a great blessing to my own soul. And as I've said before, the thing that really thrills my heart is that the Lord always wins. And he that has the Lord, even though we be alone, if we have the Lord, we're on the winning side. And that's a great place to be. And I hope that you will come over to the side of the Lord Jesus, that you will cease from your distance, cease from your apathy, cease from perhaps even your rejection of the Savior, giving your heart to him and trusting him with all your being. Please listen intently to this final gospel invitation in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride, of course, is the church. The bride is the people of God who are indwelt by the Spirit. And if you are a born-again Christian, you are going to be in full agreement with this ministry of the Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The Holy Spirit in the earth is to prepare the bride, to make the bride ready for the hour when the groom shall appear. Now remember that so much of the book of Revelation is heaven is depicted as an eternal marriage. It is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And here in these final, this postscript, there is a reference to the church as a bride that is being adorned for her husband and being moved by the Holy Spirit to be converted, sanctified, and prepared. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit in building up the church. Conviction, conversion, sanctification, the work of witnessing for the truth before a hostile world, all of that is the cooperative work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are Presbyterians in doctrine and in church practice. Those are long, long established doctrines. We hold to a doctrinal book called the Westminster Confession of Faith. It goes back to 1647. When the Puritans were in their peak performance. It was the Second Reformation. The First Reformation was men like Calvin, Luther, Cranmer, the Morning Star of the Reformation in England. Those were the first moves of the Reformation. The 1600s was the period of refining, purifying doctrine, purifying practice. Out of that was born the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, we are of that tradition, and we hold to those doctrines. We are, therefore, no new branch of the church. We are a continuation of that same branch of the church. But we must have the Holy Spirit. We must have and plead for the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. And all believers, you'll notice here this second come, let him that heareth say, come. Surely that's believers, those who hear. Those who have an ear for the message and delight in it. And what are they saying? They are agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Come, come. That becomes our prayer. And the program of the Lord's church is to cooperate with the Holy Ghost to build the church and to see the church built up. When we see the church in disarray, we mourn. When in the United States, some 50% of people claim they have no church attachment at all. Here in Canada, it's more like 80-90%. of people who have no church attachment. Now, if you ask another question, say, are you a Christian, are you religious, are you a person of faith, you're going to get a very much higher percentage. But if you ask the question, are you an active church attender, it's going to be very low. And we know that, and we feel that. And in this nation, the cause of the gospel is low, and we lament. When we see young people led astray by the forces of this world, by the vices that are now legalized in this country, that are now looked upon as reasonable options for young people, and then the lifestyles, Christian parents who are heartbroken that those children whom they brought into the world are now living totally contrary to the will of God. That is a very sad situation for the Christian church. What is our cry? Come, Lord Jesus, come. The only fix for a broken world is the coming of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord will come in his glory and bright appearing and gather his saints home. We know tonight that there's no political fix. There's no political answer. That social engineering is, while run rabbit and has all kinds of crazy ideas. You have the Democrats in the United States, and they are proposing equality for all citizens of the United States. And it's crazy. Now, they're not talking about equality under the law where everyone gets the same shake of the law. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the same opportunities, the same status, the same rewards for every single person in society, no matter what their abilities, gifts, talents, strengths, or weaknesses, no matter what their social background. And it is a social experiment of absolute disaster. Canada, I don't know if they've ever even thought it through, but we're very much on that agenda as well. But once the Bible seeps into your soul, once the gospel becomes your heartbeat, you do not put trust in the philosophies of men. Your cry is, come, Lord Jesus. That's our hope. And I suppose the older we get, the more we see the follies of men and the departure of so many from the gospel and from truth, we realize it is indeed the only answer. And the message that is presented here in this book of Revelation is of the risen Christ. He's alive. He's coming again. He's the one who is going forth conquering and to conquer. He will put down all his and our enemies. And he will gather his church home. And all the redeemed shall be gathered in. And so we desire to hasten that day. And our prayer is, thy kingdom come. That's the prayer of God's people. Lord, come. And you'll see how this book of Revelation closes right down there in verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the final word of the church. It's the final word of the saints. We cry out, Lord, just come. Come and put an end to this madness and bring glory to your own great name. Now back in verse 17, you have that third come, and we need to deal with that here tonight as well. Here's the Lord's wide open invitation to sinners to come unto Christ. This last come in all of the Bible, if we allow verse 20 to be included with the previous one. This is the last invitation in all of the Bible. And it is a plea for sinners, and it is a wide open invitation. This is where we can preach to men the free offer of the gospel. Salvation is wide open to all men. And it is extended by the Lord to the unconverted to leave their sins and come believing in the Lord Jesus. Now you'll see that there are three aspects to it. There is verse 17, let him that is athirst come. So this is an invitation to the thirsty. And you might ask, well, what is this soul thirst? This soul thirst is a man realizing that he's created in the image of God and that he possesses a soul that is never going to die. That creates new thirst, a new desire. It's also a thirst to know that there is more than just the material things to life. That's like a dawning of a new day. God has created me in his image. I have a soul. I'm going to live beyond the grave and in eternity. Now I need to know God and God's way of grace. This soul thirst is light dawning on the dark human heart, realizing the need of mercy. And I think of that man Jesus spoke of who cried out, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," and he beat his chest. Be merciful to me, a sinner. There was an earnest thirst to be dealt with, not in wrath, but in mercy. And here's a wide invitation, come to the thirsty soul, come. It is a strong desire to go to Calvary, to behold the Son of God wounded in his blood, in his death upon that tree, when you realize what sin has done. Come, thirsty soul. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, but you're thirsty, you're longing to have peace with God, then you're pleaded with to come to the thirsty soul. Then also there is the willing soul. Verse 17 goes on to say, and whosoever will. Now it's a wonder that a sinful fallen man or woman will ever want to come. And that is the miracle of grace. That is the secret operation of the Spirit to woo and to win the most sinful heart so that they do truly want to leave their sin, leave the world, and be saved by the grace of the Lord. And so that sinners are made willing by the grace of God. And if there is a desire in your heart, if you would, the Lord will. The Lord will never close the door to a willing, repentant sinner. The invitation is wide open to whosoever will. No matter how long you have rejected the Lord, no matter how long you've waited, no matter what sin you've dabbled in, whosoever will. And that helps our evangelism. There's not a sinner in Cloverdale, Surrey, Langley, wherever, that we can't tell them, you are invited to salvation. You are pleaded with to come, and if you come, you will be received. Our doctrine does not narrow the invitation. This, as we see this final invitation, is wide open to the thirsty and to the willing. The other component I see here is the poorest soul. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Freely. Now, freely means exactly what it says. No payment. No money. No works. No performance. None of your own efforts. It is to come poor, bankrupt, hopeless, empty. And you are received. And we know that men by nature want to promote their own way to heaven. They want to offer some payment. They want to provide some reason why God should accept them. I'm not worthy to be accepted. And that's the argument. That's exactly right. You aren't worthy to be accepted. The only thing that you're worthy of is hell. The only thing that a sinner is worthy of is to be condemned on the judgment day and cast into hell fire. We have no worth that would commend us to a holy God. But the gospel message is that the God of sovereign free grace offers eternal life to the worst of sinners, not on the basis of your goodness, but even when you recognize the depths of your sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 onward, you have a description of the deep sin of man's heart. There's no thought of God in his eyes. His throat is an open sepulcher, and his very feet are running in the way of evil and error. And it's like a description of the whole human body, a mass of corruption. That's the sinner's state before God. And there's nothing to commend that person to God. And yet God says to us in the gospel, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And this is the good news of the gospel. And you only need to recognize two things: that God is gracious, and you are lost, hopelessly, absolutely, and eternally lost. And that's the mercy of the gospel. And that's why every Christian daily should be on their knees thanking God for saving their soul instead of casting them away into hell. There was no good in us, nothing to commend us to God, but in spite of that, despite our sins, the Lord has saved us. So we need to be thirsty, willing, and come freely. Don't start looking at yourself, well, am I good enough? If you try that, you'll never come at all. And so we can go out into the streets, we can go out into the community and tell our neighbors, our friends, our fellow citizens, the good news that the Lord saves. If you're thirsty, if you're willing, and even though you're bankrupt, you will be received freely. That's what's often meant by the sovereign free grace of God. And this is our gospel. And I delight that our Bible ends on the note of grace. Did you notice right down there in verse 21, the last word in the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Old Testament, the final word is the word curse. If you look it up in Malachi, the very close of the Old Testament is the word curse. The close of the New Testament, the whole revelation of the gospel, is the grace of the Lord Jesus. We are preachers of grace. We are believers in the Lord's grace. And here we have it summed up at the close of this book. Now, to wrap up tonight, you might be asking me, what is my biggest takeaway after these months of studying the book of Revelation? The thing that has impressed me most of all is the fact that the focus is upon the Lamb. 28 times in this book of Revelation, we have a reference to the Lamb. And his name that was used by John the Baptist there when he was baptized in Jordan, his name referring to his sacrifice, to his blood. It is now central to his worship. And the saints in heaven, along with the angels, they sing, "Unto him that hath redeemed us by his own blood." That's the worship that is offered to the Lord in heaven. And the view of the Lord as the Lamb comes up again and again and again in this book. And it is a great assurance that we who preach the gospel and pray the gospel and eat and sleep the gospel and one day will die the gospel, and throughout all eternity we will praise the Lamb for this gospel that has saved our souls. I trust you can take that to heart tonight too. We want to close. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church. I hope that today that your heart has been filled with delight and desire to know the Lord. And if I can help you to point you to the Savior, I certainly will. I hope that you have noted the great warning that is given at the end of this book, that if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's fearful. It is necessary that we obey the word of God, that we obey the gospel, and give our heart to the Savior. If you're not a Christian today and you have a thread of interest to be saved, then come. Here is the full free offer of the gospel. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. Now, if you're in any way thirsty, come. And if I can personally help, give me a phone call, send me an email. All the details are now coming up. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.